AfterBuzzers, welcome to episode 7 of Trust Kodachrome. Today we're going to be talking about how the Gettys really are not normal, about how Paul is drowning, both figuratively and literally, he's drowning. And finally, we want to hear from you guys. What do you think? Is Paul Sr. making a profit off of this whole kidnapping? Let us know.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, AfterBuzzers, we are talking trust tonight, and this has been a very emotional episode. We're going to be getting into that in just a second, but first, I'm your host, Mina Wahab, and to my left, we have Monique here.
Hey, everybody, it's Monique Loveless. And I'm super excited about this episode.
Yeah, this was your favorite one yet, right?
Yeah, this was probably like my favorite episode thus far.
And we also have Juliet right now in the booth, and she is engineering our show, and she's also going to be giving her commentary behind the scenes.
So excited to be here with you.
Let's get right into this, and let's start off with the flashbacks from the show, because finally, we see more and more flashbacks, and this is what I live for, is like really getting to the root of who these people are, what little Paul was like when he was little. Mm-hmm. And we kind of see, like, you know, the interaction between Paul Sr. and little Paul. So what do you think of that dynamic? It was interesting.
I like how they started out with the flashbacks being like film. They did it through like a film perspective, which was really cool. I like that layout.
Kodachrome.
Kodachrome is a film, so it was really cool how they, you know, aligned that. But it was funny how it started out because they really actually, I had hope. I had high hopes for when the dad was like, hey, you know, I want to meet with you and I want, you know, to give you a proposition or, you know, part of I'm glad that you're in oil. Let's talk business, basically. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty, I thought at first I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, okay, maybe they did. But I knew since it was a flashback that we needed to see how it fell apart.
That's the first time we saw a genuine smile from Paul Jr. So the adult.
Yes.
The little Paul's dad.
Yeah,
that's the
he
first
had
time
like
an authentic, like, wow, he's like genuinely happy and the future is so bright. And I've never seen that before. So it was so, it like melted my heart. I was like, wow.
Right. And we did see that, like, it literally fell apart, but it was just kind of like he had the wife, the kid, he was super happy, he was moving forward with his life, you know, he had a glimpse of maybe being the person over the business, and yeah, he did, he seemed really happy.
Let's talk about that a little, because I want to know, do you think that Big Paul, Paul Getty Sr., set his son up for failure? Because in my perspective, like, it totally felt like he gave him this position and he set him up for failure by not actually mentoring him, but by giving him a chance to do whatever he wanted and be like, here's the reins to this aspect of the business, which is so huge, but you're not as knowledgeable as I am. You're never going to get this right. I'm experienced. Like, did you feel that at all? Like, it was intentional?
I kind of felt like he was giving him competition more than saying, okay, let me train you and get you through the ranks. I felt like it was more competition that he was trying to do, but I also feel like maybe that was his way of teaching. Mm-hmm. And people have different ways of teaching, like, okay, I caught you off guard once, just make sure you're not off guard again. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that was kind of his way of teaching Junior, and It was different.
It was sink or swim. That's what it was.
Yeah, it was. And they showed that. They actually showed that with the grandson.
Yeah, little Paul. Sink or swim. That's his teaching style. And I felt it coming when the little Paul was saying, yeah, I don't know how to swim. Like, can you teach me, Granddad? He's like, I don't think you want that. And he's like, no, I really want to learn how to swim. He's like, really? And he's like, yeah. He's like, okay. Pushes him into the open water. Like
he, picks him up.
Like a maniac. He's a psychopath. Like, I don't know what kind of parenting style that is.
He, picks him up and throws him, just drops him in the water.
Yeah.
It's funny because but my mom has expressed that that's how she learned how to swim.
Oh, my goodness.
But it wasn't by her parents, that's how she learned how to swim.
Someone just dropped her into the ocean?
They just pushed her into the water without,
Wow.
Yeah.
That's almost how I learned to ride a bike, though, because I remember my dad pushing me. I'm like, you're going to hold on, right? He's like, yeah. And then little do I know, he just, pushes me. I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know how to brake. I don't know how to stop. But, I learned how to ride a bike that way. But that wasn't as much of a life-threatening thing as,
as drowning, course. Right. Yeah. It was funny because the whole family dynamic, everyone seemed happy. Little Paul seemed happy. The mom seemed happy. Gail, she seemed happy at that time. It was kind of like he came in and shuffled it a little bit and he purposely disrupted their lives.
Who are you talking about?
Senior.
Paul Senior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Paul Senior. It was like he came in and he disrupted their lives.
In a positive way?
No, clearly not.
But,
no.
But he did give him the opportunity, and that's when things went really well. Things weren't necessarily that amazing before that.
But happiness, money is not everything. It's happiness. She even said that in this episode.
It wasn't the money, it was the opportunity. It was the opportunity for growth.
Yeah, but he still disrupted their lives because he even said it, okay, we're going to Saudi Arabia. I'm with you. We're going here in Rome. And now he has him working all of these hours or trying to do all of this. And that divides his family, which now she's feeling lonely, which clearly we see because she moves on and you know, finds someone else.
Right.
So, and even when he was telling him, he was, pushing him, yeah, there's a lot of women. All you need is sex, love, sex.
Yeah.
Drinking and, a cigar or whatever. So it was just one of those things where I felt like he kind of disrupted.
He did.
Yeah.
But there was one good thing that came out of that, and that was the shadow puppets.
Yeah, the shadow puppets.
That
he
was
really
so heartwarming.
I really feel like he has, and he said it in this episode, he really has a heart for Paul III. He really has a heart for him. He said, he's the only person I liked. He's the only person that's ever made me laugh or smile.
So much so that he won't pay the $5 million ransom. That's how much he loves his grandson.
Well,
it's complicated.
He is paying it.
Well, we'll get to that later on in this after show.
There's just some stipulations behind it.
Yeah, there's a million and one stipulations. But, we'll
right.
get to that when the time comes. But I did think it was, really beautiful to see the dynamic between him and little Paul and how he was kind of the favorite. But there was, this kind of, weird double-edged sword to that. The kinder he is to little Paul, the more it almost rubs his own son, Paul Jr., the wrong way. Because he never showed that love and affection to him growing up. And, I mean, that, in a weird way, must be really hard for him to see him treating his son like that, but realizing that he never had that relationship with his own father.
I believe it was for him. But hey, I mean, he dealt with it the wrong way too. So I feel like at that point, when you do feel like you can have that conversation, he should, if the old man is blunt, you should just be just as blunt back. Oh, you do shadow puppets for my son. Now, I gotta call you Paul. Not dad,
I mean, it's hard. I mean, learning all these things, communication, keys to success, learning how to have, these really rich interpersonal connections, that's all tough. But the thing is, there is a solution for learning to be better in all aspects of life.
There is.
And that's just checking out Maria Menounos' podcast. So let me tell you guys about that, because you need to listen up right now. So if you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, we have got the podcast for you. Now, it's called Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition, and it's hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. So just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know that it was the Trust After Show panel that sent you guys there. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Check it out. And yeah, right. I literally listen to this all the time. I'm not just saying that.
Right.
I'm not forced to say that I listen to this all the time. I genuinely do. And I was actually listening to a really good episode recently where Maria Menounos interviews Jen Sincero. And I actually brought the book today because Jen Sincero is actually the author of this really colorful, beautiful book right here. It's called You Are a Badass: How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life. So Maria Menounos was able to get Jen Sincero on the show and like talk about all these really cool things about the self-help book and kind of like how she wrote it and what went into it and like tips on how to be the badass that you are and how to not let fear get in the way of that. Because a lot of us definitely have a problem with letting that affect our greatness. Right.
Exactly.
Or we revert to really bad habits. So like with Paul Jr., that's drugs.
Yes.
And like this book is kind of like, no excuses, do what you need to do. Don't let anything get in the way because everyone has the potential within them. Don't squander that talent. And we do see a lot of that in this Trust After Show is talent being squandered for whatever reason. It's different with each character. Everyone kind of has a gift that kind of gets worse and worse over time, which is so sad. Like even
it's not a gift that keeps on giving.
Even Paul Sr., like he's so successful in the traditional sense, but is he really like successful? I feel like he's not successful with his relationships and
Like he said in this episode, it's about power. And I think I've been saying that for a really long time.
Yeah.
It's about power. Like, power, when you get the more money you get, the more power you have. You get a little taste of power, you want a little more, and then you want more, and then you want it all.
Mm-hmm.
And that is his way of controlling his life and the people around him, and he thinks that's okay. Like we do see with Penelope, like he finds out that she has a boyfriend, she's having an affair, and he writes her out of the will like it's nothing.
No, he doesn't. He gives her a dollar. He's so generous. He gives her a whole dollar.
No, he writes her out of the will and says she gets not a single penny. And then he said, no, she gets a dollar.
I love the smug smile on his face when he says it. You guys, like, you have to revisit the episode and pause it on that smug smile. It's, like, the best thing ever. It's so brutal.
Because he felt like he was, like, actually getting back at her. But as we see, I don't think... I would like to see what Penelope does when she finds out. I honestly don't think that she cares.
I was thinking that, and I was thinking she probably just gonna walk away from it all. She's not the type of person to crawl on her knees and beg for forgiveness. I feel like
care about a will. Like,
I feel like she does care about finances. That's why she's still staying with him. But I think what it is more like, I mean, we do find out like who the guy is that she's been having the affair with, and he's very high in terms of his status.
Yeah,
it's
he's
not like
very
he's just
high.
Some Joe Schmo. Like, right, he's. He's not a Getty, but...
I mean, of course, because she had a meeting somewhere in the realms of where they were. So, you know, she's in that class and caliber. So she, you know, he was probably going to not be the janitor. But I thought it was great because I honestly would like to see I would like to see how that kind of plays out because I don't feel like she really cares. Like, I feel like she's still there because she is obviously invested in him. She knows more about him than anyone else does. She kind of understands him more than anyone else does.
She totally does.
Even though he's a prick, like, she understands him more than most people do.
He can't afford losing her because there is no replacement for her at all. But, Juliet, I do want to ask you over there in the booth, what do you think is going to happen? I know we're not in predictions yet, but do you think that Penelope is just going to walk away knowing that she's not going to have anything in her will and that she's just going to have a dollar to her name? Or do you think she's going to try to fight for her rightful share.
I really hope that she's going to try to fight this.
Really?
I hope so. But at the same time, she has so much class to her.
Yes.
That I'm okay with her walking away, too. She's, no matter what, I see her having the last word.
Right. Mm-hmm. I do, too. I feel like, to be so classy, she should just walk away. Like, I was here for you, boo. I don't need your money. I have somebody else who's just as successful and probably happier over here than you've ever been.
And I'll go make my own money.
Yeah, and I'll go make my own. So I would love to see her walk away, because that would eat him alive. Because
really
he thinks money equates to power, and power is everything. But if somebody actually who he knows he's close to just walks away and is like, honey, I don't need you. I'm about to go have a better, thriving life.
I feel like he's the type of person where if any of his staff were to quit, he'd be like, you can't quit, I fire you, which is like the reverse of what.
Right. That's
his like personality.
Yeah, that, or he would like make sure they never work again.
Yeah, and you'll never work in this town again.
Yeah, I mean, you make a great point. When it always, always goes back to power and reputation. So that he will not let anybody step on his toes because he must be king.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he really talks about that this episode, which was good, because now I don't have to keep saying it's about power. We clearly know he said it's about power.
I was going to say that both of them are in the same situation and they're doing the same thing to each other, both Penelope and Paul Sr. But then I had to catch myself and realize it's not the same thing, because Paul Sr. is completely transparent about his multiple relationships and Penelope is completely secretive about it.
Well, I don't think she's secretive. She has to be secretive because of the situation. But I think that she'd
own up to it.
She would own up to it if they're like, well, we know. I think she knows he knows, because he has her followed. Oh, you were out this time. You were out this time. And she was like, yeah, I was out doing my business. So yeah. She knows he knows. I feel like she knows he knows. She's just trying to find a happiness.
Right.
Like, nobody wants to just live in this all the time.
Yeah, no, I totally get that.
When you don't have really anything else to do.
Let's talk about open relationships, because sometimes it can be successful. Other times it can be a complete disaster. I have very mixed feelings on this issue. I feel like if it's consensual and both people genuinely mean it, it can work.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have this open relationship situation with Hilary Swank's character, Gail, and Paul Jr.
Right.
So we kind of, like, find out that Paul Jr. has slept with women, and Gail has the opportunity to sleep with a man, but she's like, no, I don't really want to do it. And even though he's done it, like, I don't feel right about it. But then we kind of see that she does act upon that impulse at
she
this
does.
Gladiator show,
mm-hmm.
where the character, Tiserius, mm-hmm. woos her.
Lane Jeffries, and this is the guy she ends up with,
mm-hmm.
that we've seen in the past episodes,
and we see a more flattering portrayal.
No, I don't think so.
I felt like it was a more flattering portrayal. Like, we don't see him as like this douchebag.
I did.
Well, we can't right off the bat.
No, he said it. He was like, "Oh, you need to leave me." For when he said it in that one part, when she was like, oh, Paul the third just saw us. He's like, so, like, you're going to have to leave your husband. He's going to have to deal with it.
I think it was
was douchey.
Okay.
And
it was very matter of fact.
It's hot.
What's that?
That it was very douchey, but there's something about, you know, that little swagger with that.
Oh, no. If somebody said that about my son, I'd be like, no, we would never be together.
Yeah.
There's a different type of swagger, I feel. Like, if you're like, I'm so sorry he has to deal with this, but it's time for us to be in love, and it's time for you to step up and, you know, be in and get out of this relationship so that we can have our family together. Now, that's swag. You're telling me that my son has to deal with you're behind? No!
No, I get that. I'm in the same boat as you. Like, personally, I wouldn't be able to deal with that. But I didn't think it was, like, for her, I didn't think it was, like, the worst thing ever.
To me, it was red flag.
I'm just surprised because she's so attached to baby Paul, like, attached to him, that I'm shocked that she didn't, like, speak up a little bit more. But that's what happened.
I thought she would have spoke up more in that situation, too.
Yeah.
But it showed what the dynamic was about to be, you guys were kind of alluding to. She didn't say it, since she didn't nip it in the bud right there and then when she had the opportunity to. That's kind of why we're in this mess in a way, right?
Right.
Because then if she never spoke, that was the pattern, and she just does not speak.
And, you know, Gail is such a nuanced character because I don't want to call her weak. I think she's one of the strongest characters out of this entire Getty family, but she does have a lot of strange moments of weakness where I'm like, how do you not stand up to this, but you stand up for everything else, and you're such a go-getter, and you're such a fighter, but... You can't stand up with this one thing.
It's a woman's insecurities. We all have certain insecurities. Mm-hmm. Like, we all have I feel like women have this nurturing, and we get in power and we take care of things. But there's always one place where there's an insecurity.
That's true.
And I felt like Lang Jeffries, I feel like men were that insecurity for her. Because when she was like, I'm lonely. And he was like, with four kids in the house.
Yeah.
When Brendan Fraser's, you know, character.
Chase,
she was like, I was lonely. He was like, with four kids. Mm-hmm. And she's like, as a man, you would say that.
Yeah.
And
you know, women have that power sometimes to make a guy, like, very weak and in a way, like, just fall head over heels. And we see that with Talitha. And we also see that between Talitha and Getty Jr., I should say. So many Gettys to keep track of.
I know.
I keep kind of, like, mixing it up right now.
Right.
But we kind of just see that power being relinquished a little bit. But I want to gloss over the Talitha thing really quick because I do know you have some news and gossip for us later on, and we'll get to that in a minute. But first, I want to, like, quickly wrap this up and talk about the situation that's happening in the present day with Paul and his kidnappers when he asks the kidnappers, what are you going to do with all that money? Like, the $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks it's a done deal. We see him, like, reacting so happily, knowing that he's going to be rescued finally. And he's kind of like, what? Really? Yes. And he's so happy. And
everyone
it's
was
this joyous moment. Everyone wins.
Relieved.
Everyone is so happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, ultimately, it's just stripped away.
Like, it is.
It's his birthday, first of all.
Which is November the 4th. Mine is November the 6th. So that was really nice. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But
bad luck for those Scorpios. So much hardship.
Right. But I really, at that moment, everybody was joyous. Like, you know, Gail had the birthday cake. She was like, my son is coming home. The grandson, who is kidnapped, felt relieved. Like, oh, goodness, they're finally paying for me. And, you know, the son was like, oh, yes, my father is finally giving me something. So everyone was pretty relieved.
Yeah.
Which was like, psych.
Until we finally find out when Paul Jr. goes to meet his father, and he's so happy, and he's like, this is the moment. We are finally getting the $5 million to rescue my son. This is the ultimate bliss right now. He looks at the contract that his father's attorneys have put together, and he finds out that he will be taking the $5 million from the trust, but the condition is that when he takes the $5 million from the trust, he has to pay it back over time with interest.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was 4% interest. I can't remember the exact number.
Yeah.
But I know that
which is low.
It's a good interest rate. But what father in his right mind will ask the son to pay interest on that? And that is the argument that we face because Paul Jr. says, you're making a profit off of my son's kidnapping? And he's like, no, I'm not loaning you the money. The trust is loaning you the money, which is the most annoying and frustrating technicality in the world. And when I saw that scene, I'm not gonna lie, I got very emotional because I'm so invested in this story. And the level of frustration was up to here.
Would you have signed?
Yes, I would have signed.
Juliet, would you have signed?
No, I'm not signing anything.
Really? Not for your son?
I would have signed, and I would have been like, I don't care if I owe you the money. Like,
because you probably, he knows he doesn't have the money to pay back.
Yeah, I would still do it because I want my son.
Yes.
I don't care. I'd be in debt for my whole life to get my son back.
Yeah, I do take that back. It's when that mother instinct that kicks in.
Yeah.
I know nothing about it. That's why I was like, nah, I'm not saying anything.
I don't either.
But I don't blame him for his decision, though.
You do anything for your child.
Yeah, I feel like you do anything for your child. Like, I have nieces and nephews, and I would do anything for them, too. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I would have signed, but don't think you get a scrape of coin out of me.
Honestly, though, I really don't blame him for his decision not to sign. I think it was very much a statement of, I'm not letting you take advantage of me anymore. And it was almost kind of like playing this weird game where he probably thinks in his mind, if I don't pay it, what, you're going to let my son die? You're not going to let my son die. You have the money to pay. You're going to pay it. I don't think he thinks he's killing his son by not signing. But we as the audience might watch that scene and think, what father allows his son to die by not signing?
Exactly.
But I don't think that, I don't necessarily see it as such a black and white issue.
I do, because that was really selfish. As a parent, you will die for your kids. Like, there's not anybody that I feel like who would be like, oh, I wouldn't have signed that. That was selfish.
But you see the torment. He was
It doesn't his, matter.
He was
it's
in
your
hysterics.
Son.
He was hysterically crying.
That's because he was not in a place that he needed to have him in to sign those papers. And the fact that he wasn't in that place, clearly that's why we see that, you know, how things go. But all in all, now I blame it on the father. It was no longer Getty Senior. It's no longer Getty Senior situation.
I 100% disagree. That is so unfair. If someone's dangling a carrot and you don't take that carrot that someone's dangling because there's 10 razor blades attached to that carrot that they're dangling, I don't blame you for not taking the carrot and maiming yourself.
No, carrots are different than your child, the person that you had.
I'm saying the carrot being the contract.
No, your child is everything. Like, Gail would have signed those papers no matter what.
100% she would have signed it. But there's a different relationship between Gail and the son and the father and the son.
It doesn't matter. It's still his son. If he can sit up there and cry and weep and do drugs and watch these videos all day of your son and you can't sign papers, like, no, you're selfish. You are a selfish human being just as your father. It is now on you. I'm angry about it because now I blame the father. It's the father's fault.
Juliet, we need to hear from you to balance out this round table of opinions.
I don't know. I think I'm split, guys. Oh, no.
We need a tiebreaker.
Well, this is, I think, you know what, guys? In the chat on iTunes, go please comment and tell us your opinions, because I want to know. We can't decide for ourselves. We need our trust after show fans.
Right.
Yes, honestly, that's a very good point, Julia. And also, AfterBuzz fans, don't forget to follow AfterBuzz TV on social media, on Instagram and Twitter at AfterBuzz TV. And make sure to subscribe on YouTube to AfterBuzz TV Drama so you can keep up with not just Trust, but a lot of other after shows that kind of discuss shows just like this.
Right. And let us know what you would have done, because I got emotional too, but I didn't cry. I got angry.
Yeah.
And now it's the father's fault. It's now his fault. Yeah. It's his fault why his son did not get out of kidnapping on his birthday.
Okay, well, yeah, you're super passionate about this.
I know.
I respect your opinion.
So now I have to lighten it up and get some news.
Yes, we're gonna get into news and gossip right now.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Right, so we have some great news. Harris Dickinson, who actually plays the grandson who is kidnapped.
Little Paul,
just got he was announced to be the prince in the sequel of Maleficent. So he'll be playing the prince in Maleficent 2. So,
I totally see it.
Right. That'll be so much fun. And then also Refinery29 did a whole article on Talithia Paul, who is Talithia Getty, which is, you know, the woman that Paul Jr. fell in love with.
Became lovesick over.
Yes, they did a whole article about her. They were a big thing in the 60s. I mean, they were very much known. She was known, and, you know, they were splashed in Vogue, had great parties. So they were a huge deal.
So she was a socialite.
Yeah, she was a big time, and an actress. The actress and a socialite. And that they did redo that picture. That was an iconic picture that they actually did on the show.
I never knew that until you just told me that right now.
Yeah, they recapped that was an iconic picture. And then Refinery29 also commented that this Getty I don't know if it's the kidnapping. They weren't specific about it. But that Getty's is supposed to be a multiple season about the family on FX. So
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Then we'll get even more background and never be satisfied by anything. And still clearly want more not. And more and more. The more power you want, the more power you get, the more power you want, the right. more trust you have, right. the more trust episodes you're going to want to keep getting. And with that being said, let's talk about next week's episode and get into predictions right now.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I mean, as we can see, I don't know what to predict next episode because all we really got was that Primo and Salvatore are at this, like, I don't want to call it a bar mitzvah because I don't think it's a bar mitzvah, but they're at a gathering. In maybe like a church.
Yeah.
For an event.
Yeah, it's definitely not a bar mitzvah. I don't think there's a huge Jewish population in Italy.
I know. I'm so sorry.
They're all Catholic.
So it's an event. It's an event for clearly family. And Paul, the grandson, Paul the Third, is just kind of going through his head if he's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels like he's going to die.
I think, personally, I'm going to let you finish.
No, you go.
But I definitely think that next episode is when we see the ear getting chopped off.
I'm hoping so.
I like how you see that with you say it with a demonic smile. You're the only one who smiles after I say he's going to get his ear chopped off.
No, I didn't mean it like that. I'm just saying, the gruesomeness of it is like, oh, like, that just would get you in your seat. Like, oh, my gosh. Like, that's just one of those seat clinchers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get what you're saying. You like the action. You like the plot moving forward faster and the plot thickening. Mm-hmm. I totally get, like, your style of TV that you enjoy.
Yeah.
Any other predictions about what's going to happen? What about with Penelope?
I don't know if we actually are going to delve more into Penelope, but if we do, I want to see her take the power, and she needs to, she needs to just be like, okay.
Juliet, what do you think is going to happen, or what do you wish will happen, or that you will see more of in next week's episode?
I'm all about Penelope. I honestly want her to have her own spinoff.
That might happen.
All the girlfriends.
That
all
might happen.
Yes, I think I would love to see more of that. How did all the sister wives get together? How did they come in? How did number one came in, and then how did that affect the number two, and then how did that kind of all snowball?
Real Housewives of Getty Villa.
Exactly.
Yeah. New show idea.
Hit on our hands.
Yeah.
Hit on our hands.
I have the perfect ideas, and now it's gonna just be stripped away from me. Turned into a Bravo show now. Hopefully an FX show.
An FX show. The Getty Wives. The Getty Wives.
The Getty Wives. Yes. I like it. I would totally tune into that 100%. Let us know what you think about this entire episode in the comment section below. We want to hear from you. We always want to hear from you. So let us know what you think and tune in next week. But before you leave, where can they find you on social media?
You can find me everywhere on all platforms at Miss Mo Loveless, and that's MSMOLOVELESS. And also check me out on every Thursday for Life Sentence at 7 p.m. and Tuesdays for The Voice at 10 p.m.
And Juliet, where can they find you?
Guys can find me on Instagram at Bonjour Juliet. That is hello in French, and Juliet, my name.
And I'm Mina Wahab. You can find me on Instagram at Mina Makes Magic. And I also am part of the Genius panel, Genius Picasso. It airs every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Be there. See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.